Blog Talk Radio.
Well, George, I've been drinking on Easter Sunday. Go figure. Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
Once again, welcome. No music.
Nothing works. I can't get it together. Welcome to a special 30-minute edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Will the Most, the King of King himself, the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building tonight. It's Thursday night. Oh, wrong show.
I know, it feels so weird.
Yeah, it does.
And yes,
I think I can hear the crickets chirping outside.
No, that's my princess daughter that's crying a few minutes.
But,
like I said, we got time is limited, so let's get straight to it.
Yes,
oh,
sir.
What's that third partner of ours?
Oh, Anitra B. I think she's out pissing people off away from the show.
Oh, hold on. I think that's her right now. Wow, it must be Christmas. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Anitra B, everybody. She's on the show for once. That's two times in a row. You know it's going to snow tomorrow. So,
don't go there because it just might. How you doing, Anitra?
I'm good. Please. How are you guys this evening?
We are alive and in color.
Yes. All right. So let's do what we do best and piss people off for 27 minutes left.
Yes.
Okay, what happened? On Tuesday was a big... What? It's a short edition. What can I say?
Yes.
Short like something else, but that's between my legs. Oh.
Uh-oh.
But
Now I think you pissed other people off.
No, I just pissed off the baby mama drama. I just told her a little secret. That's all.
Uh-oh.
But,
Lord.
There was a big attack up in Brussels this past week that killed how many people, Sean, supposedly?
30 people, well over 200 injured. It's just a shame. But this is the kind of thing. We just talked about this like a couple months ago, that something big might happen around, you know, campaign time, and that is exactly what happened.
So,
sad.
Do you think these candidates will use this platform to help raise the nominations for themselves? Like, especially Donald Trump, that's preaching all Muslims are terrorists. They look at the attack that just happened. And, so, of course, ISIS claimed the attack, so it just made the propaganda or the image of Muslims look even more, and the hatred that's going on right now, not towards Mexicans and blacks. Now you got the Muslims, so, you know, you have Donald Trump, like, see, I told you, Muslims are terrorists. Look what they're doing.
This is the one thing that's going to help Donald Trump because, as I said before, it's all about fear-mongering. And because of all of his rhetoric and all of the nonsense about building the wall and all the other stuff that he wants to do, the bottom line is all he wants to run on is that whole fear object. And if you got that kind of thing going, it's definitely going to work in his favor. And lo and behold, all of the candidates are going to be talking about it. Oh, we need stronger terrorist laws. We want Ted Cruz talked about wanting to actually have police in areas that have a high Muslim content of people. Wants them to patrol the streets.
Well, why is that?
Because the perception is in the eyes of a lot of people, especially in mainstream media, that the Muslim religion is a religion of terror and of fear. And that is the problem with a lot of hate mongering, because you say the wrong thing, you aim it to the wrong group, you get the right person to listen, and you have chaos. Bad enough we have Donald Trump inciting a lot of nonsense at his rallies. The last thing you need is any one of these people trying to rile up a religious, any section of religion unjustly. And that's the problem that we're going to have right now.
So, for Anitra B., If Donald Trump's still preaching this, will this help change your mind for voting for him? Are you afraid of what's going on in this country?
No. I don't think he's an idiot, and I'm still voting for Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Here's the funny thing about the whole deal. All of those people that have been talking about how Donald Trump doesn't like this and doesn't like that, you notice at the end of the day, they still said that they would endorse him if he was the nominee for their party. I mean, how backwards
is
that?
But why? Well, why? Because he's preaching hate?
The Republican Party is a hive mind, and in a lot of instances, so are the Democrats. Whatever the party line is, they're going to toe that line no matter who's at front. And the problem is... Donald Trump is the biggest idiot out there as far as going out and saying these things, and the Republican Party wants to show unity within their party. So whoever's in front, they're going to go ahead and endorse. But if you've noticed, they're out there now trying to sabotage Donald Trump in any means that they can.
Anisha B?
Not to change the subject, but school's open tomorrow.
I believe it is.
Yes, yeah, it is open.
It's Good Friday. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I believe that school
is
going to be open.
Yes, Good Friday. And you have not been in church in about 30 years, so you don't know anything about religion. Carry on. So back to Brussels attacks.
What a segue. Oh, man.
But let's get back to the topic.
The attacks are definitely going to affect the election, and the candidates are definitely going to use it. I mean, I think it's sad that that's true, but it shouldn't affect it shouldn't affect your decision at the end of the day. It's not affecting me. I personally couldn't care less.
Okay, well, how about people are criticizing President Obama and his reaction towards the attacks? Should President Obama care about what's going on at the world today with the last few months in office? Should he be doing the tango in Argentina
now? Here's the stupidity that goes on with this entire deal. Anytime that a president is on not even a vacation, this is a trip that has implications on traffic as far as commerce and opening up the border. We're talking about a country that hasn't done business with the United States in 88 years. That's the reason why the president's there. So you're going to tell me that because something that happened in Brussels, Belgium happened, which was an unfortunate, disgusting act, he's supposed to now jump in a plane, and go over to Brussels and do what? There isn't anything he can do. The image a lot of people are going to bring up is what happened with 9/11 when George Bush was actually told that the buildings had been hit in New York by planes, and he was sitting down reading a book to children and did nothing about that. There's kind of a difference in that sense that they were warned ahead of time that something was in the process of happening, and it's been given the ideal that Bush didn't do enough ahead of time. This is a completely different thing, where the president had no knowledge of anything happening until it had already happened.
True, but if it's only happened in another country, I mean, yes, there were America involved in the strategy, but still, why do we have to jump in every time there's a terror attack? Well, there was terror attacks in other countries, in Africa and another country, I forgot, but we didn't say anything about it.
Exactly.
No one, you did not hear any mention in the media. Why? Because if something happened in Europe, we have to jump in. But if something happened in Egypt or Africa or other countries, we don't care about them.
And that's the problem, because it's not mainstream enough. You know what's mainstream? Belgium, England, Switzerland, some places like that, which a lot of people look at as, you know, rich European heritage, that kind of thing. You don't hear anything about Darfur anymore. You don't hear a lot about, like you said, West Africa or any of the atrocity that's been going on with the young girls that have been raped in certain parts of Africa on a regular basis and all of the things that have been happening where girls are trying to learn and get an education and they're being mutilated and tortured. You don't hear about those kinds of things happening as much in the press. But if something happened like we had, the thing that happened – you know, when Brussels, we had the Paris attacks recently. All of these things that have happened, you're going to hear nothing about. And that's because it's not mainstream enough.
So talk about attacks on HB. Are you more afraid now of ISIS than before, or is it about the same? Or, you know, it is what it is?
It's the same. It is what it is. I really don't have much of, so it is, you know, it's obviously concerning. But it's not going to stop me from leaving my house.
And it's funny how these brothers and how these guys did it. They went to the airport, went to a train. They don't have to go to the planes right now. They could cause panic within. And I think that's worse than doing it on a plane. But when you do, when you bomb an airport, where do you run to?
Exactly. You're basically pigeonholed in the same area. There's nowhere to go.
Yes. There's nowhere to go because if you're trying to run towards the exit, you don't know there's a bomb right there trying to blow up more people. So you're just in the middle of chaos right now.
Yes.
And these ISIS guys, they're doing a very, very good job putting fear in most of us. So, of course, Donald Trump will use these fears and turn into courage like I'll be the real American hero. I will stop ISIS. How can you stop evil? How can evil stop evil?
Even more so, how do you fight an enemy that is in large part invisible? You have a lot of people in a group that are out there that, one, you don't know where they are. You don't know what they look like. They're basically invisible. Second of all, they're in small cells, but yet those cells are traveling around and doing as much damage as they can. Now, from that sense, what do you do from there? You can't. And the problem is, as I've stated before, a lot of times the United States, they stick their nose in other countries or other worldly affairs that they really have no reason getting into. And the same thing that happened with Saddam Hussein. As I said before, I made the analogy of it being the cork to the champagne. They destroyed the cork, and all the champagne is now all over the place.
Okay, now K-Dog's in the house. K-Dog, what is your intake about the Brussels attack? And no, we're not talking about Nietzsche's attack this time.
Uh-oh.
Hey, yes, jackass.
You're just realizing that?
Now. Listen, look. Well, you know, I'm trying to be serious here, and you guys are making me laugh. Okay. Now, well, what I got to say about this attack, I mean, this was the deadliest attack so far in 4 months since the Paris attacks happened in November.
Oh, I'm sorry to call you. I'm sorry, K-Dog. Think about that statement you just said. In 4 months, look how soon that has it been. In 4 months, we had another attack. And we had another attack before Paris and U.S.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this is that we know of.
Exactly.
Remember, not everything is publicized.
No. There's a lot of terrorist attacks going on. And, Sean, I'm so glad that you mentioned what's been going on in West Africa because there have been terrorist attacks there, too, and it's not being reported. And there's also many other attacks that's been happening, especially in the Middle East, in Baghdad and Iraq. Listen, the thing is that ISIS is real. ISIS, Boko Haram, they're real out there. And this is the thing that people don't realize. You really don't know who your neighbors are, too.
Hi, Charlie. Who did you vote for?
The hell?
I believe that's her cat.
Oh, my goodness. Take care of a cat. I mean, we're trying to be
serious.
Oh, excuse me, we have 14 minutes left. Can we get back to the topic, please?
Okay,
Charlie,
back to the topic.
Charlie wants to say hello. Say hello, fellas. Say hi. Well.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, Kerwin.
Listen, this is the trials and tribulations of having a female on, okay? Deal with it.
I understand.
Okay, well, we're dealing with it. But anyway, like I said, now, the question is, are we really safe from ISIS? Are we safe?
No, we're not safe terror-wise. I think we are unsafe brainwash-wise because we have so much fear. We don't know how to react to this. So we have to look up to a crazy white man named Donald Trump for answers. And
well, you know,
people have criticized President Obama of being weak for not attacking ISIS. Like, oh, let's go out and bomb everybody. How can you bomb everybody?
He is not. First up, let me just say this. President Barack Obama, President Obama is the president of the United States of America. And like you mentioned earlier, we get ourselves in trouble when we stick our nose where we shouldn't, where it doesn't belong. And on top of that, Even the authorities in Brussels, they said themselves they have no way of keeping track of who's in their country and who's not, who's a terrorist and who's not, if you understand what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And it was just brought up earlier today that those three that were involved in the bombing were on the U.S. Terrorist database. So it's like they were on the radar of the United States as far as terror goes. So
exactly.
They were being looked at.
And Brussels took their eyes off the radar. That's where everything slipped up. And you know, did you also know, is that those brothers who blew themselves up, they have criminal records.
Mm.
They have criminal records out there. Yeah, plenty of them.
But I never understood the point of, if I would tell somebody, I'm going to blow myself up. It's like, what is the point overall?
You have to remember the mindset of the person that has nothing to lose in the face of a religious ideal. Anybody that has a thought process where I'm going to further along my cause and I'm already oppressed as it is, and especially if you throw a religious reasoning behind it or any kind of unifying reasoning behind it, that makes somebody that does that have nothing to lose very dangerous. If you don't fear death, if you don't fear reprisal by anyone, then killing yourself in the name of helping out a cause is just another notch on a belt mark. So
exactly.
That's the scariest part of that.
That's where they've always had one up on us. It's because as an American, as proud as Americans are, you really think a soldier in our country is going to strap a bomb to his chest and walk into a building? No.
No, because you know what? Guess what? What we're not looking at are the two biggest extremes. You have politics and religion. Yeah. And you know, especially with these extremists, when it comes to religion, in the name of their religion, they're gonna take it like a step further. Like they're willing to die for the cause. And if you don't agree with what their doctrine says, if you don't agree with it, then you are worthy of death.
Okay,
and that's the thought process.
That's how they do.
Okay, well now we have to go to our other topic because we have like 10 minutes left.
All right, go ahead.
I don't understand this. Anisha made her sex tape, and she only made $140 over her sex tape. Hulk Hogan made a sex tape, and he got awarded over $140 million. Is there something wrong with his picture?
That's wrong on many levels. I'm cheated at him.
Listen. Hulk Hogan, he said that he did not know. The reason why he's suing is because, I could hear the princess in the background. Is that
of course she woke up at the right time.
Of course.
Welcome to fatherhood.
Thank you.
He had no idea that he was being taped.
Lies. I still don't believe him.
No, you know what? This is the thing.
Hold on, Anisha.
I've never met a man that doesn't get off on being taped.
Yeah, and here's the whole story. That was his best friend's, that was his quote-unquote best friend's wife that he was doing the do with.
He's probably more mad that he got caught, not that he got saved.
Of course.
Hulk Hogan has gone into a lot of things in his life, and he embellishes a lot of the truth. This is one of those few times I actually believe he didn't know he was being taped.
And you know what's amazing? He got money off of it. That's just crazy.
He knows he's not going to see any of that money. I don't think it was anything to do with the money. Because you know it's going to be caught up in litigation. It's going to be in the appeals process. They're going to appeal it until the Stone Age.
Yeah.
True.
His wife, and you know his ex-wife was part of that money, too.
Of course. Come on. Well, yesterday, Sean and I, we watched a show where Hulk Hogan was on, talking about his side. And today, we watched the same show. And the guy, I forgot his name, Nick Denton, the Gawker, the guy who owned the network.
I think he's the editor, and he also owns the website.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of websites that are connected to that same Gawker website.
Yeah.
So, Sean, from those two interviews, who do you believe more? I'm sure there was both sides, a little bit of truth to it. But who do you believe more from those two interviews you saw yesterday and today?
Well, this is the way I look at it.
I'm sorry about Princess Abby.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Hogan has to worry about his reputation. He also knows that whatever he said was supposed to, supposedly he thought was said in confidence. Whether they were correct, whether it was right or wrong, whatever is the case, it was supposedly said in confidence between two consenting adults, away from cameras or microphones or tape recorders or whatever. Now, the editor of Gawker, his thought process is, no matter what the case is being, a celebrity that big doing something like that, whatever it is newsworthy. I find that wrong from the sense that it was only newsworthy because it was a gotcha moment and somebody actually went kind of undercover, so to speak, to take something that was supposed to be private and turned it into a news story. And that's where it's wrong.
But don't you have your freedom of speech or freedom of rights?
And that's,
I mean, there's a such thing as privacy these days as a celebrity. Not us nobodies. As a celebrity.
When you're a celebrity, there is no such thing as privacy unless you as a celebrity control your own way, because a lot of celebrities, they do keep a low profile. They do try to keep out of the public eye.
But oh, my God, go pick up my niece. She's screaming.
Whoa. Yeah. The princess is
I'm okay now.
Go pick her up.
It's okay. I'm in the bathroom now.
Great. You're in the bathroom. Oh, my God.
Hide from the child.
My poor baby.
Uh-oh.
Man,
oh, baby.
Carry
still
on.
Still here in the background. She has some powerful pipes, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I said, celebrity, it's up to the celebrity, because some celebrities, they keep a low profile. They keep out of the public eye. The only way that you know what they do is either they're on stage or in film or in television or on the radio, and that's it. They don't try to live that Hollywood life. But with Hulk Hogan, being the celebrity that he is, I mean, the man brought wrestling for the past 30-something years. So what do you expect to happen when you get caught doing the nasty with your friend's wife?
The other thing is that Hogan didn't do himself any favors by going into different talk shows and doing different interviews and basically bloviating about his sex life and all of these things, and it makes him look like he's an attention whore. But when it comes right down to it, he's got the right to his own private life. I don't need to know about who he's screwing. He doesn't need to let everybody know unless that's his choice.
Blame Hulk Hogan for it, because he's the one putting it out there.
Yeah, but at the same time, guys, you talk about a time period that he gone through a messy divorce after 20-something years with Linda Hogan, and you don't know, emotions take over people. He went crazy. You know, losing his family, losing his wife. You do stupid things. We don't do stupid things with our emotions. Come on, look at us. We're best friends with our nature. That's the dumbest thing we ever did. But guess what? We move on from there.
You're a jackass.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. I have another caller. All right, caller, you got like 3 minutes to say, to make your statement.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. 930.
Yeah. Hello.
What is going on?
Yeah. What's good, everybody? What's going on?
Hey,
what's going on,
brother?
Hey, welcome back.
And, nothing much, man. As far as this Hogan thing goes, I mean, listen, you know, you can't really, you got to have permission for certain things. You know what I'm saying? You got to have, there's rights involved here. Obviously, Hogan didn't give Fox permission to do all this, so he got caught. And due to his popularity and views, you know, he got a big settlement going on there. So it's like, it's part of the deal. You know, you can't take people's activities like that without their permission. And this is freedom of speech. You know, this is just, you know, basic human decency here. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, if, you know, let's put the celebrity out of it. If this is like regular people, we could all be in trouble for that. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
It has to be some type of responsibility on Gawker or whatever you want to call it.
All right, so, brother Milton, do you think he knew about the recording?
Who, Hogan?
Yes. Right. In other words, do you think they planted this so they could sell the sex tape, as they claim in the case?
Shameful.
Well, I don't think he knew, because, you know what I'm saying, the way his image is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wouldn't put that out there like that. You know what I'm saying? He had, at that point, he had, you know, this wholesome image or whatever have you, even for an NWO thing. You wouldn't put a sex tape out there like that.
Yeah, you would think Hogan would have a little more sense into knowing that if he's going to do something
exactly
dirt-wise, he's not going to record it. Even though he may have an ego, he's not going to do something like that and then blow his reputation that he built for 30-some-odd years.
You know what Hogan did? Hogan made himself look like the victim, basically.
But it worked. He got him money.
Yeah. He was the victim in a victimless crime, so to speak, you know?
He was
no victim. He knew what he was doing.
Of course.
Listen, he showed himself that way, and it worked. Got the lawyers to believe.
Yeah.
Got the money to have the lawyers present. It's all about, you know, money and things of that nature. He had the money to get on correct lawyers to present his case properly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? A regular person may not have
exactly
that. So.
It just boils down to really what is the right thing and what is protected by your First Amendment rights, what is privacy, where are you breaking a law in that sense, and what is actually public domain? What can you use in the public's eye, and what becomes freedom of the press and can be used as a story if it's newsworthy? And that's the issue that I think Gawker crossed in the case. Now, will Hogan get that money? Of course not. This is going to be tied up in litigation for 20-some-odd years until they just give in and settle. But,
or there may be something going on.
Yep.
All right, guys, we have 3 minutes, so Milton S., what is your final thought about anything? And, of course, you know you got to mention about your favorite racist friend, Donald Trump. Go ahead.
Donald Trump, what the world, as far as Donald Trump is concerned, I love it myself. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just America taking off the mask, and it's funny to me. You know what I'm saying? But on one level, he's just out there really to get Hillary elected if you really look at it. You know what I'm saying? He's just out there just to scare people into going with the status quo. So it is what it is. That's just the chickens coming home to roost there. On the Hulk Hogan thing, you know what I'm saying? You reap what you sow if you golfer. You try to be this little gotcha new situation, you got what's coming to you. You know what I'm saying? And as far as the terrorist attack goes in Brussels, that's a sad situation out there. But also, it's a sad situation is the terrorist attack that happened in Ivory Coast, when Al-Qaeda came over there and killed like 22 people. Unfortunately, the Ivory Coast is like a black country. There's no real cover to that, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. You know what? I need to be. What is your final thought? And we will say goodbye.
Later,
my
y'all.
All righty then.
Final thought was
no. No, listen, I'm sorry, guys. I just got home from work. I'm a little discombobulated.
I understand.
Okay, you know that? Johanna, she got home from working at the corner at 42nd and 8th Avenue. Now she's real tired.
Oh, man.
And she cannot make $140 million like Hulk Hogan. There's something wrong with
Shut
wrong
up,
Hanson.
Quiet, Hanson.
Milton S.
Know your role. Know your role. Sit your ass down and go touch your kids.
Sean Black, guys, thank you so much. We got to do this again. Hopefully on Monday.
Yep,
I mean, on Sunday. If I don't talk to you guys, happy Easter, and have a good weekend, guys. Have a good night.
Same to you.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night.